Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and click podcast. Hey, welcome to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast. I'm Ken Alexander. And I'm here with my co-host, the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones.
Hello, hello.
So, doctor.
Yeah.
Got a great show here today.
Yeah. You're not telling me what we're talking about, so I'm curious. You haven't told me all day what we're talking about, so now I'm like on the edge of my seat wanting to know what are we talking about.
What are we cooking today?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
What we're cooking today is... It's popular in the Midwest.
Really?
Like that, yeah. And today we're going to talk about pork steaks.
Pork steaks?
Pork steaks, yeah. Huh. Yeah. It's very interesting, but...
It's like a pork chop mixed with a steak?
Well, it's like a pork chop, but it comes from a different part of the pig.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, a little more flavorful than a pork chop.
Oh, really?
Yes.
More flavorful than a pork chop?
More flavorful.
Oh, I'm salivating already.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about pork steaks today, and then we have a great guest coming on the second half of the show.
Who we got?
Yeah, so we have Michael Tucker coming on today.
Oh?
Yeah. He's a certified executive coach.
Oh, good guy.
Yeah, so I'm a really big proponent of coaching.
Yeah?
Yeah. When I worked for the defense contractor.
Uh-huh. Way back when.
But in the latter years, I did have an executive coach, and I found it very rewarding, very helpful, not only just in work, not just for work, but also in just everyday life.
Really?
Right,
okay.
Right. I just think it's beneficial to everyone to have a coach.
Right.
Oh. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation with Michael.
Absolutely. Know what he's up to.
I would love to know. Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about pork steak.
Yeah. No more of this keeping a secret from me. I'm ready to go. So what is this? This pork chop steak.
Yeah, well, pork steak. So you got the chops. The chops usually come from around the loin or the ribs of the
piggy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. from the piggy, from the hog. But the pork steak comes from the shoulder, either the Boston butt or the pork. They come by several names. All of this comes off the shoulder of the pig.
Uh-huh.
But you have the Boston butt, the pork butt, or they go by all those names.
Really?
Right. But the thing is, so you take those and you slice that pork butt, and then when you slice it down, that's what you come up with, the pork steaks.
Interesting.
And they have a little more fat content.
Oh.
Which makes them more flavorful. Which, you know, fat in there. Makes them more flavorful.
Absolutely.
Right. So, as you know, pork chops, and a lot of people like the loin chop.
Yeah.
And I'm personally, I'm not a big fan of loin roast, loin chops.
Really?
Too easy to dry.
Mm.
You know, so I'm more of a, even with beef steaks, you know, I'm like more of a ribeye guy.
Right.
And I like the higher fat content personally.
Okay. All right.
But that's what you're going to get with the pork steak.
Right.
And the other thing is most of the time it's cheaper.
Really?
Right. Because when you start buying those loin chops and those perfectly looking pork chops, they cost a lot of money.
Yes, they do.
But typically the pork steak, not so much.
Really?
And so you can get them, you can get them a lot cheaper.
Okay.
And so, and so you can find them at your grocery store.
Oh.
And also at the meat market.
Okay. All
right. Right. So you can usually find them in a little value pack or something like that.
Yeah.
In the meat department and in the little meat case.
And you say you're looking for the what they're called? They're called. You just ask.
Yeah,
what
they're just called pork steaks.
Really? It's called pork steaks. That's
it. They'll be called pork steaks.
Oh, okay. And they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Unless they just started there.
You'll see them, and so they're not shaped anything like that loin chop.
Wow.
That comes from the rib. No. So they're just they're not shaped that way, but it's easy to find them.
Okay.
They're normally bigger. Mm-hmm. As far as in size, and you want to get them somewhere between 1/2 inch and 3/4 inch thickness.
Wow.
And so if you have to get them to cut them at the meat market, that's what you want to ask them for.
Okay.
But we're going to cook them like steak.
Right.
Just like a steak. So we go, you buy your pork steaks, you get the little value pack, and you paying less money for them, so
right?
You're smiling coming out of the grocery
exactly.
store.
You're ready to take it on.
Take it on. That's so the thing is that we're talking about grilling these.
Okay.
Now, if you want to get the thicker steaks, the thicker pork steaks, we can barbecue those. But that's a different show.
Oh, because
that's low and slow.
Folks, tune in next time.
tune in next time for. Barbecuing thicker pork steaks. And that will be low and slow. But today
it's gonna be fast and high heat.
Fast and high heat. So we want to make sure we get them 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's talk about the prep.
Right. So what now, do we do? This marinade?
There's a lot of things we could do. We could marinate. We could brine. We could rub. We could use our spritz.
Oh.
And it just depends on
the flavor profile. What do
flavor profile and which one you want to select or which two you want to select.
I love it.
I mean, because they go great in a marinade. About 24 hours before, you put your little marinade together and you've tried your hand at some marinade.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking
amazing.
Pork. I'm sure you could come up with a good pork marinade.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Get some cream soda in that bad boy.
There you go.
It's going to taste good.
I've seen some really great recipes with soda.
Yeah.
I've seen some with, a cola.
Right.
And un-cola.
Like
Sprite.
Yes. You know, really? With Sprite?
Yeah, Sprite or 7-Up.
Okay.
Yeah, one or the other.
Interesting.
And so you use a cola and then you use an un-cola.
Un-cola. I like that.
And
un-cola.
Mix up a good marinade, throw some other spices and things in it. So we marinate it for 24 hours.
Mm.
Now, or, you don't have to use a marinade. You can just use a rub.
Right. Right.
And you've tried your hand at some nice rubs.
Man, I can't wait to share my story later.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. But yes, we can definitely do rubs.
You can rub those chops down and you can rub them down.
Oh. 24 hours when you rub them down? Or you
don't have to
rub them
down
and put them on the grill?
You can rub them down
and
do them 24 hours.
Yeah.
Or you can rub them down just a few hours or rub them down right before you cook, put them on. It's either way.
I love it.
Be fine either way.
All right.
And then we could do the spritz mop. You know, we could season them. We could rub them down and then put us a little mop that we're going to just like, just put that on there as they're cooking.
I'm getting excited already.
Right.
It's not even grilling time.
And again, just whatever flavor profile you're looking for. Do you want it sweet? Do you want it, more spicy? Do you want to use some Southwestern seasonings in them? Or do you want to just go barbecue?
Wow.
Because the other thing is, during this time, you could just throw together you a little homemade barbecue sauce or something like that you could just put on right before they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have these barbecue pork steaks.
Ooh.
Yeah, they do this barbecue flavor.
It's getting hot in here. I think it's just me.
Now cooking.
Yeah.
We're going to set up the grill for direct heat.
Uh-huh.
Going to be high heat.
Yeah.
I'm recommending 425 to 450.
Really?
Yeah. High heat.
Okay.
And like we always do, we're going to lightly oil the grill.
Mm-hmm.
You can use the spray or you could use something where you like a little brush and sure. wipe it on the grates.
Some oil, and, some right, sort of oil. Yeah,
some kind of oil.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of oil you have.
Mm-hmm.
At least whatever cooking oil.
Oil you got, right? Exactly. Beware
yeah,
of oil.
Been, yeah. Whatever cooking oil you may have.
Emphasis.
yeah, yeah. Emphasis on cooking.
Exactly. Yes,
yeah. So then you oil the grates, and then you're going to just put the pork steak directly on the, over the high flame. And what temperature are we trying to reach?
Let's see. This is pork, so 145.
Yes.
Yeah.
145.
But do we want to go really all the way up to 145 or a little bit lower?
Well,
this one?
We're just going to go 145. If we pull it off at 145, it'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still possibility that it may have a little pink inside, but that's good. It's done at 145. Yeah.
Okay.
But I would pull them off at 145 personally because I do not like well-done meat.
Right. Right, yeah, right, right.
I don't like dry meat.
So. No, it's pretty gross.
Right.
And if this has a lot of fat content in it, it's going to be nice and juicy.
Mm. Yes, it is. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
So I would take it off at 145. Mm-hmm. Approaching 145. It's going to cook just a little bit more as you pull it off the grill.
Sure.
But yeah, you want to make sure that it does reach, you know, that temperature. Then you got to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let it rest, but
5 minutes.
5 minutes, right. Mm-hmm. But as I was saying, I forgot about the barbecue sauce. Right towards the end, about a minute or so left on there, you could just start rubbing that, put some sauce on there, flip it over, and then you could take it off and let it rest if you want to throw some sauce on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big sauce person
Yeah.
while it's on the grill, but
yeah.
this one, yeah, you could. Whatever kind of flavored sauce you want on it, it'll be good when you just throw it on there, then pull them off.
Right.
Let them rest 5 minutes. I put a little foil over it, let it rest 5 minutes, let those juices just kind of seep back into the meat before you cut it.
Mm.
And then you're good to go. That's the pork steak.
I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Does that sound good?
It's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really easy.
I do them quite a bit. And I know,
do you really?
Yeah, I do them a lot.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, you grill.
I mean, I grill at least 3 to 4 times a week.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, and the thing is, most of the time I'm using my gas grill.
Oh, really?
And probably most of the time I'm not using any wood or anything like that. I'm just grilling, just the flavors all coming from the spices or that I use,
right?
But it's quick, it's easy, easy cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not heating up the kitchen,
right?
And,
right,
and yeah. So typically, 3 to 4 times a week, I'm using the old trusty gas grill.
That makes sense, and like you said, it's getting kind of warm.
Yeah, especially now.
Yes, right? Get out of the kitchen.
Get out of the kitchen, man.
Cook real fast and go ahead and eat.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Absolutely.
It's easy.
So that's pork steak.
Mm. Wow.
And now it's time for us to go ahead and take a break.
And he leaves you just like that. Gets you hungry and he takes you on a break. Look at that.
Yeah, it's time for us to take a break. But when we return, we have a listener question.
Woo-hoo!
That we plan to answer.
Yes.
And then we're going to check in with our grill master, pit master in training, the doctor.
That's me.
Dr. Andre Jones.
That's me.
So please hang in there. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, it's your favorite pitmaster or trainee, Dr. Andre Jones himself, and I'm super excited to let you know that I have my very own show. That's right, I'm the host of All About the Win podcast, where myself and my fellow players interview local and national entrepreneurs about their greatest accomplishment thus far. Plus, we add a little bit of old school magic to bring those stories to life. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify by searching All About the Win, that's W-I-N podcast, or visit our website at www.allaboutthewin, that's W-I-N podcast.com, and be prepared to be inspired and entertained.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast. This is Ken Alexander, and I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones. And it's time for us to answer a listener question.
Indeed it is. This is from Barbara in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, Tucson.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone local. And here's what she said. She's cutting meat. She's having a hard time cutting dry tip. Help!
Oh, help! Tri-tip.
Yes.
Well, the thing about the tri-tip is the tri-tip, well, cutting meat in general, you always want to cut against the grain.
Right.
The thing about the tri-tip, the odd thing about the tri-tip is the grain runs in two different directions depending on which part of the meat you're cutting.
Really?
Right, right. And a tri-tip, you know, when I think about it, it looks like sort of like two triangles combined, right?
Right.
Combined at the base.
Right.
So, and one is longer than the other one. And the long triangle, the long part of it,
yeah,
those striations run long ways. They
right.
run the length of like the triangle from the tip to the base.
Got it.
And those, they're running that way.
Uh-huh.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to start cutting right there, and we're going to make these vertical cuts right across the grain of the tri-tip. Now, when we get to where possibly would be the base of the other triangle, where you have this other triangle that's pointed in an opposite direction.
Yeah.
And then once you do that, you're going to kind of turn that part that's left, and then again you're gonna cut against the grain. So you can't just keep slicing it one direction. Once you cut the long part of the tri-tip,
right,
and you get to the other part, then you just gotta slightly turn it a bit, and then you're gonna be slicing it across the grain.
Oh wow.
And as long as you're slicing it across the grain, you're gonna have some very tender meat. But when you cut it with the grain, it's going to be stringy and tough.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can take you can have the perfectly cooked piece of meat. And if you cut it wrong, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah. Yes. It'll be chewy and not so good.
It'll be chewy. Yeah. Especially in a tri-tip. So that's how you cut a tri-tip.
Mm.
And actually, there are some great videos out there as to how to cut a tri-tip. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right, well, right.
There you go, Barbara. Thank you so much for your question. You can leave us more questions by going to www.kidshardwoodbbq.com. Click on podcast. You can fill out that contact form there. Or just send us an email at getyourbbqon@gmail.com.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Mm-hmm. Well, it's that time to check in with the grill master, pit master in training.
That's right.
The doctor.
That's me.
Dr. Andre Jones.
Woohoo!
Tell us about your latest...
My latest adventure?
Adventures on the grill.
My grill. I love my grill. She's getting quite oily and dirty, but
all right.
That means she's getting a lot of good use.
Yes, a lot
of good use, and I'm loving her. So... It was WrestleMania weekend this weekend.
Oh,
yes.
That's huge.
That is really big.
WrestleMania.
For pro wrestling fans all over the world. This is our Super Bowl, really.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a two-night event, actually.
Two-night event.
Yeah.
WrestleMania, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Finally, we made it.
Yeah.
And they had fans for the first time also this year.
Ooh, big.
They said it was a year, a day, and a month since they had fans before they did it. Yeah.
So now... Super Bowl, you have a lot of Super Bowl parties.
Yep.
It's a big event.
Everybody's
like Super Bowl dishes and coming up with all these different, you know, foods and stuff for Super Bowl. So how does that compare with WrestleMania?
Well, you know, generally we would have a WrestleMania party and we would have food and everything else. But, you know, we didn't do that.
Oh.
COVID. So what we ended up doing was a friend came over. You know him, Soul Manji.
I know. He used to be a wrestler.
Yeah. So we're going to be watching WrestleMania. So Saturday night, I fired up some steaks that I already had cooked, so I just warmed those up.
Okay. So you threw them back on the grill to warm them up?
No, I put them in the microwave.
Wow.
I know.
But that is a...
They were good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Just keep that in mind in the future, man.
You know,
throw
thank
them back
you for that.
On the grill.
I will. And then, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can heat them back up.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to taste so much better.
Better than the microwave.
So much better. But let me tell you what I did the next night, though.
Yes.
So the next night, I got fancy. I had some chicken wings or some chicken leg drumsticks. There we go.
Drumsticks. Okay.
And I was like, you know, I want to do something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at my spices and I had Montreal chicken rub.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I hadn't used that. Yeah. Mm. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to use a little bit of that. And I smelt that and I was like, that smells good. And I also had applewood.
Yes.
I was like, ooh, I like applewood. And then also sweet and smoky. I combined all those together and I mixed them all up and I got all of my I make a lot because it's going to be my dinner for a couple days,
right,
you know,
right?
And I marinated those chickens, rubbed them down with that. Ooh, so good, so good. But I put them on the grill like I usually do, but this time I did something a little different. You know, I've been using a lot of apple juice.
Right. You have been.
Yeah, I found lemon juice.
Ooh.
And I was spraying those boys down. Ooh.
Man,
with the lemon juice. Yes. So all of it combined. Oh, they were smelling divine. Divine. Mm-hmm. My big dog, you know, I got a new big dog. He's a horse named Zeus.
Zeus, yeah.
Yeah. As I was grilling, he likes to look out. He's pretty big, so he can stand up on the patio and look out.
Mm-hmm.
Like an old man. So he's looking out and I'm grilling together and I'm watching WrestleMania at the same time.
Wow.
Great show. Great show.
Right.
Pulled them all off, got them to 165.
I
actually turned down the heat a little bit, let them take a little bit more time.
Okay.
Cooking.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
It was good.
Oh my gosh. I brought them out and I made some sides. And by the way, I don't know what you've done to me, but I'm doing a lot of things from scratch nowadays.
All right.
A lot of my sides are coming from scratch.
That's a good thing.
I just found a cheesy bacon potato scallop, cheesy potato scallop recipe.
Ooh,
oh yeah. It's going down. It's going down for real
right.
this weekend.
Right.
So, so Man G was there. So I gave him a piece of my chicken. I had a piece of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a bite and he said, huh, that's really good. He's like, that flavor is really, really good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, right. And I took a bite of it. I was like, I'm going to have a second and a third. I ate three pieces of my own chicken. And
wow.
Oh, my God, it was good. I'm excited. I have leftovers.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
He loved it. I loved it. Wrestling was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Always have a Ryan Sweet roll. It was a good night with wrestling.
Yeah.
And chicken.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Can't go wrong.
No. I did try to do something earlier this week also. I'm going to need some advice here.
Okay.
I tried to do a strawberry reduction.
Oh.
I don't think I had enough strawberries because it came out funky.
Yeah, so describe funky.
it was not like the blueberries, because I did a blueberries right after, and blueberries came out just fine. It didn't look like a sauce. It was more or less looking like a syrup. Is it supposed to look like a syrup?
Well, no, it doesn't have to be that thick, but you want it to thicken. Sounds like maybe you didn't have enough strawberries, but also you have to let it cook down. So it has to be some water in there. And just let it cook down and take it off at the right time. You want it to thicken up some, but it doesn't. You don't want it like syrup.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think you maybe need to either use smaller strawberries or cut the strawberries if you had the big, huge ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like cut them in half. And then you have to watch it because once it starts thickening up and you have to stir it, especially with strawberries, it's a little like I usually have like a wooden spoon because I'm using a non-stick type of pan when I'm cooking and I have a wooden spoon and I'm just stirring it. And as it gets close to being done, you want to take it off and as it cools, it'll thicken up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As it cools, it'll thicken up.
Got it. All right.
Right.
More strawberries.
But you don't want more strawberries, and you got to give it time because that's the long pole in the tent, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're cooking steak or cooking the reduction is going to take the longest.
Right,
so,
right.
So the thing is, get the reduction ready.
Yes.
Before
you do anything else. Right.
Well, before you put the meat on the grill.
Yeah. True. Right. Makes sense. Right. You know, I count. What I did is the next morning I did a berry reduction,
mm-hmm.
and then when I had my dinner, the reduction was already done.
There you go.
Voila.
Voila.
So I'll do my reductions in the morning.
Yeah.
And then have it for dinner at night.
There you go.
I'm brilliant. I'm brilliant.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, that's just prep strategy.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. You're just working your prep strategy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Therefore, when you come home for dinner,
uh-huh.
the reduction's already done.
Exactly.
And so you just cut a bunch of time out of your dinner preparation.
Exactly. Because I like my dinner now.
Right.
As soon as I get home.
Right. So sounds like you had a successful weekend, especially with great chicken
mm-hmm.
along with WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good times. And now it's, you know, we just restart the season all over again.
All right. Well, that's great. So we really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our grill master. Pit master in training.
Exactly. Finals are coming up.
Finals are coming up.
Right. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Yeah, you know, skirt steak is on the finals.
Oh, no.
Yeah, skirt steak.
That's actually a good thing because I eat the skirt steak as it's cooking. Just kidding. Not as it's cooking, but like as soon as it gets off the grill, I'm ready to eat it. All right. I'm ready.
All right. Well, hey, it's time for us to take another break. But when we return, we're going to be bringing you the good news.
Woo-hoo!
We've got our executive coach, Michael
mm-hmm.
Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking forward to that conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned to Get Your Barbecue On the podcast.
This is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Restaurant, where we have created a blend of barbecue and southern cooking. We have taken the best barbecue styles and flavors from Texas, Missouri, and the Carolinas. What food has meant to my family is a way to come together and fellowship. We invite you to come and join us. We are located at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson at the crossroads of Craycroft and 22nd. Call us at 520-745-4746. Come on down and get your barbecue on.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here with the doctor,
Dr.
Andre Jones.
Dun-dun.
And it's time for us to bring you the good news.
Woo-hoo!
Good news. We're here with Michael Tucker today.
Dun-dun.
Michael's a certified executive coach. He's a consultant, published author, and international speaker.
Wow.
Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here, and I just want to say I love your Sloppy Joes.
Yeah,
we're going to just start on the right foot here.
right. And I forgot to say, Michael's a barbecue fan also.
Exactly.
That's right.
All right, Michael. So, man, that's a pretty impressive resume. Coaching, international speaker, author. How did you bring all that to Tucson? Where are you from?
That's a good place to start. So I'm originally from Hopkins, South Carolina.
Okay. Wow. All right.
I'm a little country boy that got out of the country and traveled the world a little bit.
All right. That's always nice.
Yeah. I spent some time in the military and that took me to South Korea. And
mm-hmm.
And I ultimately ended up here in Tucson.
Yeah.
In 2006. Yeah.
2006, huh?
That's right. Yeah.
And so what happened in 2006 when you got here to Tucson?
Sure. Well, first of all, I got off the plane and almost melted.
So that was your first time to Tucson. Yeah.
Yeah. So crazy thing, 2006, the military was downsizing.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, this is just after, you know, the spin up, you know, of both wars, which was kind of an odd thing. You know, mm-hmm. you would think they'd be hiring more, but they were downsizing.
Right.
And so I ended up getting here because they said, look, we're going to let you go. And you could either do one of three things. You could stay here in South Korea, which I was attempting to do because the food was great.
Yes, it is.
Met a good woman over there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
or you could go back home to Hopkins, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I kind of know that a little bit. Mm-hmm. What's my third option? I said, well, you could go to Tucson, your next duty assignment, you can out process there. And I figured, well, I never been to Tucson. I don't know anything about the desert, so I'm mm-hmm. going to go there.
All right. Wow. Right.
Okay.
So it sounds like you're in the Air Force.
That's right. Yeah, right, I was in the Air Force.
All right. Wow. So you make it to Tucson and you out process here in Tucson.
And then what?
Yeah. So now what am I going to do now?
Yeah. Well, you know.
What was your plan? You must have had a plan.
Look here. You know, my plan, it's funny listening to it, but my plan was to come back to the States because I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Oh,
wow.
That was my plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The funny part about it was in my mind, I came to Arizona specifically because I had been reading these Rich Dad, Poor Dad books. And Rob,
yeah, yeah. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Robert Kiyosaki says, hey, you know, I've become a real estate millionaire in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And
that
was my plan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And little did I know, most of his story took place in Phoenix and not Tucson. So I pussed around a couple of different businesses, did some network marketing, and that was a whole adventure in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Worked really hard with that.
Right.
Didn't quite pan out the way that I wanted to, but that led me into marketing.
Right. Yeah. So you said, so you're trying out your own businesses at this point, or are you working for somebody else at this time?
Yeah, I was completely on my own.
Oh, okay. Wow. So yeah, you're just doing your own little startup businesses.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Wow, man. That takes a lot of guts and a lot of faith.
I could say it also takes a lot of crazy.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So I just did that and eventually got into marketing and ended up launching the first social media and mobile marketing company here in Tucson.
Wow.
Yeah. My wife and I, we started that teaching Facebook classes at coffee shops on Fridays.
Oh, wow. You found a little niche, huh?
That's it. Yeah. We had all kinds of restaurants and, you know, different small business owners that would show up. And
right.
And Friday was like a happy day because we were only charging like $20 for these classes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So we would go to the bank, you know, and do a little dance in the parking lot with a handful of $20 bills.
I love it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that ended up leading me into consulting, which was, you know, the larger contracts.
Right.
That was a whole other animal. And then in 2014, when my mom passed and I lost my first child, I thought that I had to do something different. I didn't have any energy for marketing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I just want to do something a little more heart-centered. So I got into executive coaching.
Oh, wow.
And so, so that's how I ended up where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do in the military?
I did a couple things. So the first career that I had was in procurement.
Okay.
So specifically, I was responsible for doing contracting for munitions projects or things that go bump in the night,
right,
if you will. So I did that, and then my next career there was in a career area called services. It's called force support now. So it was food, fitness, lodging, mortuary affairs. I was in charge of a bunch of stuff, you know, a bunch of people,
right?
And it was challenging.
Yeah,
it was challenging, but it was good work.
But I mean, but challenging is good because it helped you build a little toolbox.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep, little toolbox.
Yeah. Okay. So you started your coaching business in 2014.
That's right.
Mm. Right.
Well, actually, let me back up. I started the business in about 2015 because for that first year, I wandered.
Oh, okay. Mm.
I wandered. I was just trying to find myself, trying to like readjust to life without my mom, trying to imagine like, you know, after losing that first child, like you have built up so much expectations.
Right, right. That's tough, man. That'd be a really tough part, tough time in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's when I got into it about
2015. 2015. Mm-hmm. And why coaching?
That's a funny story. So in my process to find myself, I found myself on YouTube.
It happens.
Yeah, no. So there was a brother, Michael Beckwith. He was doing this talk about life visioning. And he had this exercise where he, you know, tell you to close your eyes and, you know, vision the future for yourself and these kinds of things. And I saw myself coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I saw. I saw me talking with people and connecting with people.
Right.
And I resisted it really hard at first because being in the marketing space and working with so many different types of businesses, I'd seen a lot of times coaches would try to approach me and get services for free, which I get it. You know, it's a tough business. But what that communicated to me was there might not be any money in this.
Right.
And I have responsibilities. So
yeah, family, man.
Yeah. So I really resisted it at first. And then finally I just said, you know what? This is what I saw. You know, why would I watch this thing, you know, if I wasn't going to carry on with it.
Right.
And so I just went into it and I just started reading books and taking courses online and and most importantly, coaching folks.
Right.
And I was really good at it and people got a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. And then last year I decided that I wanted to take my game to the next level and ended up getting accepted into the UT Dallas Executive and Professional Coaching Program.
Wow.
Yeah, so ended up completing that, and that has opened so many doors.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that certification and being able to, you know, have the same level of qualifications that is required to coach, you know, Fortune 500 CEOs, generals, and so forth.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I mean, in listening to your story, it just sounds like you finally found your passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would definitely say that, and I would say these days, believe it or not, I would say that I'm still evolving because so much of my work is at the intersection of this executive coaching piece, equity and justice in the way of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and this whole other piece, which is in product creation.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. So and it is all congealing and it's all coming together.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Very
beautiful.
Very interested. I look forward to us getting more into that. Mm-hmm. But what does a executive coach do exactly?
Yeah. Well, I could tell you the book definition, but I won't. Because you'll still be asking me the same question.
Right.
But but bottom line, an executive coach really is a thought partner, someone who works with an executive, with a leader, with an entrepreneur to assist them in gaining clarity and insight so they can make decisions. And a lot of times these decisions impact lots of people's lives.
Right.
So it's really all about supporting them and making really, really good decisions.
Yeah. You know, I am really a proponent of coaching for a lot of reasons for me, anybody that's an entrepreneur or just, I think everybody needs a coach in life because you just weren't born with all of the knowledge and things that sometimes it requires to get through life. Mm-hmm. And I used to work for Fortune 100 defense contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struggling. Mm-hmm. I had some struggles and some of it had to do with some diversity issues or whatever, but to try and kind of smooth things over a bit, I was given an executive coach, an opportunity to get executive coaching services and had a choice of like three different coaches. And I interviewed them all. And the one I went with was the one that was going to more or less affect all areas in my life and not just get me promoted or find a better job or whatever. So what about that? What do you think about that kind of?
Yeah. You know, when I think about executive coaching, it's a fancy title and, you know, it sounds sexy, but at the end of the day, in my view, at the end of the day, really executive coaching is life coaching. That's really what it is. A lot of the issues that you're focused on initially has to do with the business and performance and these kinds of things. However, the individual is the one that you're dealing with.
Right, yourself.
Exactly.
The man in the mirror.
Exactly. So if you can really support someone by helping them see what they don't see.
Right. About themselves.
About
right.
themselves. That's right. it. That's it. And so to your point, yeah, that completely makes sense. And here I would add a whole other layer on top of this because I definitely do consider myself an advocate for Black coaches and an advocate for Black coaching. Specifically, there is research that talks about the significance. The data is overwhelming, particularly with African-American leaders in executive roles that they need Black coaches. That is definitely a consideration that folks of color. So if you're Hispanic, you probably need yourself a Hispanic coach,
right?
You know, so and this is not to say that white coaches, you know, can't deliver. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we have a way that we operate in the world. We have a way of connecting with each other and understanding some of the challenges and so forth that just moves that process along. And it's really powerful. I had an opportunity to coach with a gentleman. He was the first Black CEO for a very, very well-known nonprofit in California.
Yes.
All white board, and was really just trying to figure it all out.
Right.
He didn't know who was friend or foe.
Right.
Wow.
He didn't know. And what we discovered through some just real deep conversation was that that he didn't have any foes. He actually had more friends.
Right.
Wow.
Than he thought he did.
Right.
And one of those friends who he thought he was a foe ended up giving that organization $40,000 through one of his partners.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, just because he was able to show up differently in the presence of that relationship. Now, that's a good story. Not all of them turn out that way.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure.
Right.
But I follow you because there are some cultural differences that sometimes that just don't translate into, and that, you know, a coach, a majority coach, has never had that experience.
Yeah.
And so I'll follow you there.
Yeah. It's an adventure.
I'm sure.
It is an adventure.
And everyone is different.
And everyone is different. And I would say the what's super important as a coach is to show up powerfully for all of my clients.
Right.
No matter what they look like.
Sure.
Right.
But really creating that space for them to grow and to reflect and to see who they can fully be.
Yeah. But what I really like about that story that you just told was the fact that what you said was your client showed up differently. Therefore, the people on his board could show up differently for him. So he worked on himself in order to, and I think that's a really important, that's a key thing there.
Shifted how he saw himself, shifted his reality.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So your business, you help a lot of entrepreneurs, both corporate folks or entrepreneurs, or tell us about the kinds of folks that you help.
Sure. So, I mean, I would say I work with executives, I work with entrepreneurs, I work with founders, so startup founders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work with them, you know, nearly some of the smaller ones as much. But the ones that have some funding and some traction, and then we can have a conversation, you know. But, you know, but I have done some things in the community, like with the, you know, with Startup Tucson and these kinds of things, and worked in that regard. And then local businesses as well. Most of my work is with, oddly and interestingly enough, with folks not here in Tucson.
Really? Oh,
okay. Yeah, even though I live here.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you're global. You're all over.
Yeah, well, you know, Zoom makes that a reality for all of us.
So. Very true. Very true. Right.
So what do you find this whole pandemic, how has that affected? Because there's a lot of folks, a lot of businesses, what struggled through this, are still struggling through this pandemic. How's that affected coaching and coaching folks through this thing?
Yeah. You know, I would say at the beginning of the pandemic, I mean, there was a huge, huge ramp up in terms of opportunity for coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They were afraid. They didn't, you know, they had never seen anything like this in their lifetime. None of us had.
Right. Right.
And so you have folks that are wanting to make good decisions for themselves, for their businesses, for their employees. And decision making can be exceptionally difficult when you're operating in an environment of fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not only the fear that might be in your own household or your own organization, but in this particular instance, you're dealing with a global kind of overarching fear.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
Right.
A world that's afraid.
Right.
Exactly.
The world's on fire.
Yeah, exactly. Literally. And so to be able to tap into those higher faculties of creativity and innovation, mm-hmm. and things like that is a challenge. And clearly there are a lot of folks that were able to tap into that because we saw a lot of new products and services and so forth that mm-hmm. came out
right.
of the pandemic.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. A lot of times you need contrast. You need problems mm-hmm. to bring out new solutions.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's where these things, sometimes you wonder, you know, how bad is bad when it brings out all these new, mm-hmm. all this new technology, all these new, all this new innovation. Had it not been for a pandemic, those things wouldn't have never, nobody would have thought to bring them out at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and I see where it would take a little coaching to get somebody there.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, exactly, because you got to get them out of the, oh my God, the sky is falling.
Right.
You got to get them out of that.
They're constantly running around in circles. Ah. Yeah, you, they can't create if they're running in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, it's time for us to take a break, but when we return, we'll be here with the good news, bringing you the good news with Michael Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, Tucson, do you have a hankering for some good old down-home cooking? Well, you're in luck. Along with our award-winning barbecue, we have Southern Fried Catfish, mac and cheese, collard greens, fried okra, peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, and much more. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Kent's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
And we are here bringing you the good news.
Dun, dun.
We got Michael Tucker,
da-da.
Executive Coach Extraordinaire.
That's
so
right.
So we're going to get right back into it. So, Michael, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges for small business owners when it comes to making decisions? Because a lot of people fell by the wayside even in this whole pandemic because they didn't know what to do. Maybe they had an idea, but they just couldn't decide which way to go. Should they do this? Should they do that? So this whole thing, small business leaders making decisions. Mm. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest challenges I see with small businesses, because they're doing so many things.
And wearing so many hats.
They're wearing
all
so many hats.
Hats. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chief cook, bottle washer, everything. Everything.
Right.
I mean, especially, you know, if you're a solopreneur, you're trying to do everything.
Right.
I would say the biggest challenge that I see with them is not finding time to get quiet.
Oh,
wow.
I like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not finding time to get quiet. So what they're doing is they know that they have these decisions. They're listening to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Mm-hmm. About the decision, asking everyone about the decision, but they're not sitting still enough to get clarity on their bigger picture about why that decision is important, mm-hmm. you know, what long-term outcome or consequence that decision might have.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you might be a proponent of meditating.
I am. Yeah, I am.
Now, when you talk about getting quiet, so that's what I'm thinking, man. Because a lot of times the answer was within you, but you got to quiet down to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe it's always in you, and you know, for folks out there who might get a little spooked about meditating, I'll tell you like my mom used to tell me: sit down and close your mouth. It's not that hard. You just need to sit down. Yeah. And close your mouth sometimes. Wow. And if you can do that, you know, away from everybody, you know, get yourself into a park or nature or something like that, you will be surprised about the things that will come to you.
Mm. Wow. I mean, I think that's really good advice for a small business owner.
Yeah, because you're right. They are running around trying to do everything. And the last thing they want to do is sit still.
Yeah. And it's funny when you say it that way, because what some of the things that I've heard with business owners is, I don't have time to sit still. And I'm like, well, you really don't have time not to sit still with all you have going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so maybe with, you know, putting your mind in a state where you can gain some insight and some wisdom and clarity, that'll help you organize and have that insight and make better decisions along the way. Mm. So it's really an add, not a takeaway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. 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 So, you know, I've heard this thing about insight and clarity. I mean, and being an entrepreneur, you know, again, but even as when I was out in the corporate world, what is the difference between insight and clarity? What do you,
sure.
You, yeah.
Yeah. So insight is, it's a way of knowing, and it's a way of being able to see what is not directly in front of you. So a lot of times when I'm listening to clients, I'm listening for what they're not saying.
Right.
So having that insight is the ability to really see, have that situational awareness that is very much beyond the physical.
Right.
And then clarity is really, really being clear about the direction that you are seeking to go. In fact, I would say that when I look at the definition of clarity, it says it's the quality of being coherent and intelligible, the quality of being certain or definite, the quality of being easy to see or hear, sharpness of image or sound. So when you are making decisions, you want the direction that you want to go to be very, very clear in your mind. Even if you don't have the full picture,
right?
The piece that you do have, you need to be very, very clear. If it's kind of fuzzy, that's not the decision that you want to make, or you need to like really get more clarity or more details. You need to see more details, and that can come through questioning through someone like a coach, or maybe you have the discipline to sit down and question yourself with the right type of questions.
Right.
Yeah. And so, so how would you advise a client with regard to insight?
Yeah. So I don't do a whole lot of advising and coaching. I do
really?
More question asking and coaching.
Okay. All right.
So the way that I would approach that is I would be curious first and foremost about what about insight is important to you. And how would you rate the level and the degree of insight that you currently have? And what do you hope to gain as a result of having a different degree of insight? And so these are the kinds of things that I would ask and really allow them to bring whatever that beautiful inner wisdom that they have on the inside up to the surface. Because as you would imagine, that those kinds of questions are going to be, the answers will be different for everybody.
Right.
I mean, I've, in looking at as far as like decision making, and not just for business or just in life, a lot of times what I've heard and kind of researched, and I've heard a lot of talking about your feelings as a barometer for whether you're on the right track or not. And that is one of the barometers I use as to how does it feel, as to whether it's the right direction for me to go in or not. So do you have any, what do you think about that?
No, absolutely. I definitely feel, I'm a big proponent of feelings being a barometer. I think it's also important. I always talk about balancing the head and the heart.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So there's all the information, there's all the data, and then there's what you intuitively feel mm-hmm. on the inside. And so at the end of the day, when I make decisions, that's how I do it. I look at both. But for me, that intuition is always going to win. And I can tell you, I have never, ever been let down by my intuition. Mm-hmm. Never. Mm-hmm. It's always those times when when you second
guess
it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. When you go against your intuition or that little voice, mm-hmm. you have that little voice kind of guiding you.
Yeah.
And, I just recently read something they were talking about. You got thought, emotion, and thought plus emotion equals feeling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, thought is in your mind, like your emotion is in your gut, mm-hmm. and it all comes together in your heart.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then so the mind, the thought just kind of guides where that feeling goes. But I mean, you just talked about the heart mm-hmm. is, you know, and I kind of refer to myself as a heart-based entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and you follow your heart and follow your feelings. And so I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, what I've seen a lot of times is people, sometimes clients, they get confused. Mm-hmm. They'll say things like, I don't trust my feelings anymore. Mm. Or I don't know how to trust them anymore. I have to make a logical decision. And
whoa.
And it's funny because here's the reality. The reality is every decision that we make is based on feeling or emotions, mm-hmm. and we justify it with logic.
Right. Wow. Right.
So so what in those situations, a lot of times folks have second guessed themselves so much, or they've listened to the outside noise so much until they don't know what that intuition or that little voice sounds like to them anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. They got so much noise on the outside that they can't hear them all, hear their own voice.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. So what are some of the ways that small business owners can increase their ability to see the options when making decisions?
Yeah, so we talked about giving yourself some space.
Yes.
That's definitely one thing. And then I have a couple of other things when it comes to that. Here are four things that I think limit decision-making with entrepreneurs or just anyone in general. Mm-hmm. So number one is lack of a vision beyond the moment and a bias towards comfort.
Mm.
So you're not clear about your vision for the future.
Right, right.
And so you're opting for whatever is comfortable. And so that will limit your decision-making ability. Another one is we talked about clarity and insight, not having clarity of insight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So limited perspective on things. And sometimes that can be a function of the environment that we're in.
Right.
Yeah. It could be a function of not asking the right questions.
Right. But I guess, you know, the thing is, you mentioned vision. When you don't have a clear vision, how do you even know when you get there or when you're approaching, arriving or whatever, if you don't know where it is that you don't have a vision of where you're even trying to go?
You would be surprised how many large companies, mm-hmm. leaders in large companies don't have a clear vision for their organization or some of the initiatives that they are seeking to put forth in the organization. I a couple weeks ago, I was talking with a client, very large client, and it was around a diversity, equity, inclusion initiative. And I asked the question, okay, if we work with your organization at the end of all of this, what would be the most perfect outcome?
Mm-hmm.
And the response that I got was, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, a judgment of them.
Right, right. It's not.
Mm-mm, not at all.
But they hadn't taken the moment to right. really clarify that vision.
Right.
And so that let me know that we needed to do more work around clarifying mm-hmm. that vision for them.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of other things, too, that challenge folks and business owners in particular in vision. And one is unchallenged old thought patterns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That will limit your vision and impact your decision making. Unaddressed trauma and unresolved emotions.
Mm. Whoa.
You just.
Wow.
Those are wounds.
Yeah.
Wounds. You have not unhealed wounds. Wounds that need to be healed.
Yeah.
That's right. Wounds. And in particular, when I was talking about the story earlier with the gentleman who was the first black CEO for this right. organization, that was some of the things that we had to look at.
Yeah, his own heal. He had to heal. He had to do some healing.
Yes.
Address some of his wounds.
Because it was coloring his vision.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last thing I would say that impacts decision making is being dishonest or inauthentic with yourself.
Yeah.
Oof. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that could, you know, be a byproduct of a trauma or,
mm-hmm.
you know, unaddressed emotions or what have you.
Sure.
I had a client for a large nonprofit locally.
Right.
And it was interesting. One of the things that she shared with me was that she was having difficulty seeing the worst in people.
Mm.
And so we started to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that she had difficulty seeing the worst in people. It was that it was just difficult for her to see because of past experiences.
Right, right. right. No, I mean, the thing is that we all walk around with, we've had wounds, some mm-hmm. some from childhood, some from different things. And as they go unaddressed, just like the client you just mentioned, it skews your thought process. It skews how you see things. So you end up making decisions based on this skewed view of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you take the time to look at yourself, see what's causing you to think that way, mm-hmm. just like you did, and mm-hmm. then start to address those wounds.
Yeah. 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 And you know, and what's okay, so here I'm going to give the coaching disclaimer.
Yeah.
Right? I'm ready.
So the coaching disclaimer is, in coaching we don't deal with healing. That's the function of a therapist.
Right.
Right.
However,
uh-huh.
When you are leaning into the future and you're a thought partner and you're assisting folks in gaining clarity and insight, as a result of gaining that clarity and insight, a lot of times they will go back and address these past
right.
wounds sure. and hurts.
Right. Because mm-hmm. at that point, they have no choice because it's right there in front of them.
Right.
And, well, they do have a choice. Right.
right.
And
well, true. Right.
They right. choose, always
ignore
have a choice.
It, right. Ignore it or
address
forward.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for those individuals that are really committed to their growth and development and creating results, they're going to, you know, look those issues square in the eye. And, mm-hmm. and if doing that means getting some additional help from a
right,
therapist,
right.
then that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They're going to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
Powerful.
Yeah.
And actually, one thing I want to bring up, you said therapy, which is not very talked about in our culture, Black culture, African-American culture. It's something I've done for many, many years and found extremely helpful. And I think it's wonderful. What's your thoughts on therapy? Do you tell them like, hey, you might need therapy while we're doing coaching, or is it something that just comes up naturally as it goes on?
Yeah, I would say that I address that differently with different people if mm-hmm. it comes up. And one of the things that they you know train us about in school is how to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Mm-hmm.
So if you're noticing certain behaviors or certain patterns or certain tendencies, and you think that individual may benefit from that, then mm-hmm. you need to say, you know, hey, I'm noticing X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
would it be helpful if we had a conversation about other opportunities for you to address this concern, you know, beyond the coaching engagement? So what I would say is that, so first and foremost, I do believe in therapy. I think it can be very helpful, but I also believe that you need to find the right therapist and you need to find the right modality.
Right, right, because there's so many out there.
There's
now.
So many out there, and it's not all the same, and it's different for different folks. And just going, one of the things that I've seen, particularly, especially with Black leaders, is really going back and addressing some of the post-traumatic slavery syndrome. Racial battle fatigue, especially when you're in these organizations and you're constantly, you know, being hit with microaggressions and people trying to undermine you, you have to address those things. And in fact, the CDC recently came out with a paper saying how racism is basically bad for your health. I mean, I don't think that was any surprise to anybody.
No way. Really? Oh, all these years.
They just figured it out.
Oh, so, well, congratulations.
Could be bad for you.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And you're right. There is that. When you said that, actually, I thought about when I worked for the state and when I was working for the state, being the only Black employee for the state and hearing all the hints. And I'm like, but this is psychology. Why am I hearing all these hints? Like, this is psychology. What are we doing here? What are we really doing here? Like, I know what you're doing. I clearly see it, but I don't know how to react. Do you see that as well as when you're coaching with people as well? They don't know, like, they see it, but they don't see it. Maybe like the first story, like they don't, it makes a hard time for you to see what's really going on in front of you.
Yeah. We could have a whole radio show just on that because what happens a lot of times is there's these conversations that take place in our minds when we're experiencing some type of racist situation. Mm-hmm. And the first response a lot of times is denial.
Right.
We don't want to believe it's happening. Or we think that it's a one-off event, and then we don't want to say anything about it because we don't want to be seen as, you know, the angry Black man or angry Black woman or pick a race.
Right.
And so one of the things that's really, really important, and again, this is why getting silent is so important, is so you can ground yourself and really be present to what's going on, and you can see and make a determination from there.
Right. And being grounded and present is helpful for any situation, just as long as you're grounded and present.
Absolutely.
I would ask you, so what role does trust play in the decision-making process? Because a lot of these are like trust issues when we talk about the executives and stuff making decisions, and they just sometimes they don't even trust themselves and that they're, I don't trust that that's the right decision. Mm-hmm. So. What does trust and how that role, how does it play in a role?
Yeah, well, you just said it, which is trusting yourself. You just hit the nail right on the head. So if what I see a lot of times is people saying, oh, well, I don't trust myself to make this decision, or I don't trust these employees to do what's right for the company.
Right.
Right.
And I would say that it takes a lot of energy not to trust. Mm. So conversely, I would say trust that people will do exactly what people are going to do.
Right.
And just prepare for that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, oh, I love it. Yeah.
And so if you don't trust your employees, maybe what you're saying is that you haven't given yourself permission to trust yourself and seeing the truth about yourself and the decisions that you're making about yourself.
Hmm.
Start Ooh. There.
Wow.
Ow.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Yeah, because in 100% of the conversations that I have ever had when it's about employees and situations, these leaders know what's going on. They know the personalities for the most part of the folks that they're dealing with. They know their behavior patterns. They know their history. And so to say that you don't trust that person, it's almost disingenuous.
Right. Because you know this person.
Right.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, you know, hey, I trust Johnny to do exactly what Johnny has been doing for the last 5 years.
Right.
Say you don't trust Johnny.
Right.
So you're lying to yourself,
right.
Which gets back to not trusting yourself.
Right.
Because you're lying to yourself.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So in a situation like that, are there other situations where possibly asking good questions can support in the decision-making process?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I think about good questions, let's talk about that for a second, because the one question that we love to ask that is completely unhelpful in most situations is why.
Right. Yeah. Very true.
Why?
Very true.
And for a number of reasons, there's been a lot of research done about this, but in most instances, what happens when you ask a person a why question, it puts them in a childlike state. And so they respond from whatever stage or age that they can remember themselves as a child.
asking why.
And so so why'd you take the cookie?
I don't know. Very helpful.
Because I was hungry.
I was hungry. Well, Jimmy did it. I wanted to have a cookie too. Right. It's very childish. Right.
Right. So they start to just make up reasons. What I find is asking what questions, when, how questions. My favorite are what questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are my favorite questions. And you can train yourself to ask these kinds of questions to yourself so you make better decisions.
Like, what was I thinking?
Well,
better.
It's like, why? What were you thinking?
Right, exactly. Not a good one?
With a different intonation.
What were you thinking, Johnny?
So, I think that is a good question.
Right.
If you ask it with a different inflection,
right.
What was I thinking?
Right. Change. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. That's a lot better than mine. Right. Okay.
So what are your favorite questions to ask when you have to make a big decision?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things that I like to do is ask myself, what would the most perfect outcome for this situation be if I were looking back 1,000 years into the future?
Hmm. Whoa.
1,000, huh?
1,000 years into the future.
Hmm. Whoa.
I normally just go 1 year. But you said 1,000.
Yeah.
Wow. Why 1,000?
It's a good round number.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you know, it really sticks with kind of a more native tradition where they're looking at 7 generations into the future. That's how they make their decisions. Right.
How would this benefit my descendants, descendants, descendant, 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 descendant?
Okay.
I'm going backwards.
Right. That's one of the questions that I'd like to ask.
Yeah.
And if maybe the decision isn't, I won't say so big, because big is relative.
Right.
And every decision has an impact.
Right.
It will carry on.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But other questions that I like to ask myself is, who all will this decision impact?
Mm-hmm.
And what might those who are impacted by this decision feel or think or communicate?
Mm.
You know, so these are the kind of questions, the what questions, I like to call them.
Okay.
I like that.
So who is your ideal client?
Yeah. So my ideal client is someone who is up to doing something very meaningful with their life, who's up to leading people, who's up to creating results. Maybe they work for an organization, maybe they have their own operation. And this individual, first and foremost, inspires me. And I work these days a lot, like I was saying, a lot with folks in the DEI space. But I work with leaders in any space. So product development, that's another fun space for me. People who are creating innovative solutions, and they need a different approach. CEOs, that's always fun because you can actually see the results real time in a lot of instances. But yeah, I mean, I would say that my favorite client is the client who's really committed to doing the work. That's my favorite client.
Wow, right, great. So do you have any tips for our listening audience?
Yeah, absolutely. So number one, trust yourself.
Right.
Trust yourself. And what I would say is that if you are seeking to make more impactful decisions, decisions with clarity, decisions that will bode well for you and, you know, the future, your children, your children's children, don't be afraid to reach out for support in that process. I know a lot of times, you know, there's some folks who think, well, I just don't need any coaching, or I don't know, I got it all together. And those are the main people who need it, by the way.
Right, right. Of course, of course. I got it all. Everything's handled.
But you could never say that to anyone because the reality is they don't need anything they don't think they need.
Right,
right, right, true. Right, right.
So, but yeah, so I would definitely say that. So don't be afraid to reach out for support. And at the same time, don't be afraid to trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... you know, this is a cooking show.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we talk about food a lot on this show.
Mm-hmm. Makes you hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, you look pretty fit, so you must eat pretty well. So tell us about your, we always ask first your how you grew up and what your mom and dad or however you grew up and what was your household like as far as food goes?
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll come up to what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so specifically when it relates to cooking, I'm eating. Yeah. So I grew up in the South, so a lot of the food and the meals and so forth that I grew up eating, I don't eat a whole lot anymore, primarily because, number one, there's a lot of stuff that I honestly have just forgotten how to make.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I mean, so being in the military, living overseas, then coming out here and having an Asian wife who primarily cooks Asian food.
Right.
So there's a real opportunity for me to reconnect with my culture, specifically around cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And if I will say what about 2 years ago, I did do a little throwdown for Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right.
We had some, what did we have? We had some macaroni and cheese and we had some collard greens and we had some cornbread and some candy yams. Those yams, whoo. Yeah. Right. Man, see, you got me hungry now.
Sounds like you're throwing down.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a little spread, but I had to call and get recipes.
Right, really? Right, right.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I remember the days calling my mom. Hey, can you tell me, or, you know, calling back home or calling somebody and saying, hey, can you give me that recipe? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So these days, I keep saying to myself that I'm going to do more in the kitchen, but it is a challenge for me. And it maybe has to do with that connections. We're talking about this. Maybe it has to do with that connection to the food and so forth.
Right.
And so it's a little, that motivation is not
necessarily
what I would like it to be.
Right.
Right, right. I mean, and, you know, I used to travel a lot to Korea. I love Korean food, man. And yeah, I really love Korean food. So, I mean, if your wife can cook, if she's then I probably wouldn't be trying to spend too much time in the kitchen.
Yeah, that was one of those must haves on that checklist.
Yeah, yeah.
And she loves it. You know, she loves it when she loves it.
Yeah, right. And does she do kimchi or she just usually has just buy it?
Yeah, so we usually buy the kimchi.
Yeah, okay.
But oh man, she makes these ribs.
Oh.
Oh man. Yeah.
It is out of this world. So she makes those ribs. She makes some kimchi jjigae, but that's kind of like a soup. She's really into that kind of thing. And then
so the ribs, is that cow beef? Or
so
different.
So these are she can make galbi, and that's good too. But these are Korean flavored short ribs.
Ooh.
I've had them. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it is. Yeah, I will eat a whole
right,
plate
man.
By myself.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, so she makes that, and then she'll make. You know what would be really interesting?
Mm.
It'd be real interesting to do some kind of fusion. I know a lot of folks are doing a lot of that Korean fusion. I've seen like a kimchi taco truck.
Oh yeah, right? yeah.
So it'd be real fun to do some fusion things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But yeah, those ribs, they take the cake, and then kimchi fried rice. That's kind of a staple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm. Yeah, I'm a big fan, especially in the wintertime, of bibimbap.
Bibimbap, yep.
Oh, man, yep. I love bibimbap, man.
Yeah, that's...
in the big stone bowl and just, wow.
Yeah.
I love it.
I lived off of that when I lived in Korea, mostly. And to be honest with you, it was because I didn't know what a whole lot of the food was, but I knew that was.
Right.
So I lived off of it, and I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. Mm. All right, well, so how do our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you are seeking clarity and insight and you're looking for an executive coach to support you with that, you can get a hold of me at tuckercoaching.net or you can contact me directly, 520-309-5295.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, Michael, it's really been a pleasure talking to you. We were saying before we even got to the guest portion of the show, we knew it was going to be a great episode. So sounds like you're out there helping a lot of people, and that's what it's all about.
Thank you. Absolutely. If I could just give a shout out for organization that's doing some really good things in the community. It's an organization called coachingforeveryone.org. And Coaching for Everyone is they're doing two really incredible things right now. Number one, they are training black and brown coaches.
Wow.
At that high level of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also making coaching available to nonprofits, K-12, who are run through black and brown leadership, who really need the coaching. They're making that available at no cost to them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Nice. So shout out to Dr. J. Victor McGuire out there doing the thing, putting it down for the family, and making coaching available and coaches available to all who need it. So thank you for democratizing this space, Dr. McGuire.
That's fantastic. Mm.
Love it.
Yeah, again, really appreciate you. Thank you very much, Michael.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
You take care. Thank you for listening to our podcast, Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. You can find us on anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can also find us on canshardwoodbbq.com. Just click podcast. This is Ken Alexander. See you next time.